Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Appreciate your presence. And Calvary covers it all, does it not? Where would we be this evening if it were not for the old rugged cross of Calvary? Amen. Amen. God's been good to us. Excuse me, if he didn't do anything else other than offering up his darling son for us on Calvary. He certainly doesn't owe me anything, does he? He's already did it all. He's gave the best. So I owe him my life. And I hope that through tonight's service we can be reminded of that. Forgive me, I took a swig of water and it went down the wrong pipe. Amen. Anybody have anything tonight before we go any further in the service? Something you'd like to share about this day and what it means to you and what God's done for you in saving your soul? Anybody have a word of testimony? All right. I've got something on my heart tonight. Again, I know most of the tonight's service will have to do with the crucifixion of Christ, but I did want to sing a song tonight about the resurrection. Could somebody push play there on my phone, if you don't mind? Let's just hope this works. That's it. It worked fine before service. Isn't that always how it goes? When it works. Kenny's a witness. It worked, didn't it? Plug it, unplug it, and plug it back up. All right, anybody have anybody else have something for us tonight? Because we're struggling here. Anybody have a song? Amen.
What's up, y'all? I know a lot of you guys are trying to get closer to God, so I got some people I want you guys to meet.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? I walk by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad. What'd you do? Well, we're having fun, are we not? Start it all over. We'll get it right. I'm not going to let the devil win. Yep. I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. But then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph let him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. A friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would I feel him. Resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. You ask me how I within my heart. If you feel him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. Death has died. I'm thankful he's alive tonight, aren't you? Amen. Praise God. Boy, the devil didn't want us to do that, did he? Amen. I love the words of that song, written by Rodney Griffin, right down in Morristown, Tennessee. Amen. I'm glad that our faith is not a dead object. Our faith is a living experience. If you know Christ, you know what it is to be alive. And if you don't know Christ, you haven't even started to live. Amen? Life without Jesus is nothing more than an existence, is it not? But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. I would blame it on my sound woman, but I got to go home with her, so I'll take the blame tonight. Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything tonight before we preach? You know, a lot of times on communion services, we just kind of go through the motions and go to 1 Corinthians 11, but just didn't feel led to do that tonight. I think before it's all said and done, I wish I would have. But I do believe God has something for us this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing. But all minds and hearts clear this evening before we go any further in the service. First Peter, chapter number two. I don't know about anybody else, but I need to hear the word of God, don't you? You say, when will you get to that place to where you no longer need to hear what the Bible says? Well, when I master it. And I've got a feeling that as long as I live, I'm going to fall short of the standard that God set for us. But I just want to challenge us this evening as we do consider the suffering of Jesus and how he suffered for us. And so also he expects us to suffer for him. Amen? You know, the truth of the matter is you'll never suffer for Jesus the way he suffered for you. But suffering is a part of the Christian life. So tonight, not only are we going to talk about what it means to suffer rightfully, but we're going to talk about what it means to suffer wrongfully for him. And I'm just going to tell you, friend, that's big boy Christian living. When you get to that place to where you are resigned in your heart to suffer wrong for Jesus. Why? Because he suffered wrong for you. Then you're well on your way to spiritual maturity. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm not there yet. But Lord's been speaking to me tonight, and I hope he'll do the same for you. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 18. If you found your place, say amen. The Bible says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well you suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Are you thankful for that this evening? Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Father in heaven, I love you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that, Lord, I know what it is to serve a living Savior. I was not there when you died. I wasn't there the morning that you walked out of the tomb. But Father, Lord, I was there when you saved my soul. And Lord, I know you live within my heart today. And Father, thank you, Lord, that what we have as God's people, it's not fake, it's not false or phony, it's real. So Lord, help us to live that way. Help us, Father, to live by faith. Lord, knowing that it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But just because we haven't seen it doesn't make it real. God, there's a special blessing for those who would believe having not seen, as opposed to those who require to see in order to believe. God, help us to be willing to suffer for you the way you've suffered for us. Bless this special service, this observance, Lord, of what is a very sacred ordinance of the church, and that is the Lord's Supper. God, move in our midst, work in our hearts. Have your will in your way. We're going to praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say it. Amen. Suffering wrongfully. Here we find the emphasis of the text is submission. And where Peter writing, he addresses those who are servants. And in its context, he's talking about those who were literally enslaved in bondage to the Roman authorities. And again, how they were supposed to react to that unfair and unjust mistreatment that they were experiencing on the behalf of their captives. But I want us to begin tonight by considering a submission. The first of verse number 18, the Bible says, "Servants, be subject to your masters." Be subject to your masters. Hear this phrase, "be subject to." It's a combination of two Greek words, and it means it has a dual meaning. One is to be an under, and the other is to be in order. How many of you believe God has an order? God has a structure. And we're to live according to God's order and according to the structure that He has set up for us. Think about Hebrews 13:17, where the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." This emphasis of submission. 1 Peter 5:5-6, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You know what would fix a whole lot of problems in most churches today? If God's people would just be obedient unto what the Bible says, and we would submit ourselves one to another. Amen. Not only humble ourselves before God. I don't know about you, but I find that my flesh struggles as much as anything with humbling itself before God. But listen, that's not enough. If I'm willing to humble myself before God, I believe I'll also be willing to humble myself before my brothers and sisters in Christ and to submit myself one to another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So let me ask you tonight, who are you not willing to submit to? Amen? I'm afraid that a lot of times we have a hard time submitting ourselves to our friends, let alone our enemies. Amen. If you're not willing to submit yourself to the one who's been good to you, how are you going to be willing to submit yourself to one who treats you wrongly? Amen. So, but this idea of submission, now there's a disposition. What kind of attitude are we supposed to have as it relates to our willingness to submit to other people? An attitude of fear, verse number 13, with all fear. And brother, I want to say to you tonight that Peter is not talking about a fear of man. He's talking about a fear of God. Amen. Brother, God is the one who has commanded us to submit ourselves to Him and to others. And because of that, one of these days, you are going to give an account for your willingness to submit your life and to surrender yourself. Amen. You're not going to give an account to the president. You're not going to give an account to the preacher. But you're going to give an account to God in heaven for your willingness to submit your life to other people. Amen. That's a terrifying thing, knowing that, God expects us to obey. Obedience is not always easy. Would you agree with that? Obedience is not always according to the nature of our flesh. Obedience is not always does not always seem like the right or the reasonable or the logical thing to do. But brother, if God said to do it, amen, He expects us to do it, no questions asked. Amen. We ought to submit ourselves or be subject unto our masters with all fear, not necessarily with a fear towards man, but with a fear towards God. Amen. Amen. You ought to have a healthy reverence for God. You ought to live your life with a holy respect towards God and who He is, His nature. Amen. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. How do I know whether I'm wise or foolish? Well, do you fear God? Amen. I'll tell you what, we got a lot of foolish people in our world today because there is less of a fear of God in our world today than there ever has been. But now, and I'm moving quickly, an inclusion. Not only servants be subject to your masters with all fear, amen, but who are we supposed to have this attitude of submission and surrender, meekness and humility towards? Well, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Amen. So what does this word froward mean tonight? Amen. I love words. I love language. This is the Greek word scolios, from which we get our English word scoliosis. Anybody know what scoliosis is? Yeah, Caroline does. She is diagnosed with it. Amen. It's known as the condition of one who has a crooked spine. Amen. A crooked back. Hallelujah. Amen. Scolios. So not only to those, who are good to us, but those who are crooked towards us. Anybody ever met some crooked individuals? Amen. Those who do you wrong and treat you badly. Well, brother, I want to just say to you tonight that it's one thing for me to submit myself and to subject my life and under the authority of those who do me right and who do good by me and those who I can trust. But when's the last time I was willing to subject myself and surrender myself and humble myself before those who I know is as crooked as a car salesman? Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen, right? Again, Jesus said in Matthew 5:43-44, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Those who despitefully use you, those who take advantage of you. Anybody know what it is tonight to be taken advantage of? Anybody know what it is to be used and then cast aside and thrown? Brother, I just want to say that to subject and submit to myself to that kind of person, that's not an easy thing to do. Do you agree with that tonight? In fact, I would say that according to the nature of your own Adamic flesh, that's downright impossible. Amen. It's not, but you know what? I love the next. See, we would have an excuse. Well, my flesh just won't let me do that. I just don't have the ability. It's not according to my nature to be gentle towards my enemies. Amen. But I want to lash out and I want to attack them and I want to defend myself and amen, to stand up for myself when people do me wrong. But oh, here's where the kicker comes in. It's verse number 19. For this is thankworthy. Do you know that word thankworthy tonight is the Greek word for charis, which means grace? Amen? So you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that we may not have the ability necessarily to do this and to live this way on our own or by ourselves, but I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient to help you and I to be willing to do and to live our lives in front of others the way God would have us to. Do you know God would never ask you to do anything that wasn't possible for you to do? Amen. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. God, listen, you say, well, you just don't know how badly I've been treated. Well, there's been some treated worse than you were treated. There's been some who have been through worse things that you and I have been through. Amen. Did you know the Bible is filled with people who were dealt with unfairly? Did you know unfairness tonight is just a natural part of this fallen, sin-cursed world that you and I live in? Have you ever heard that phrase, life just isn't fair? Well, the sooner you figure that out, the better off you'll be. I mean, life is full of unfairness, injustice, and disappointment, amen. But that does not give you and I an excuse or a right to live our lives contrary to the will of God. Amen. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. I'm just telling you, y'all know me tonight, and they might as well put my name above this passage. Because I'm telling you, this is an area of my life that I have not mastered. God's been working me over about it, and keep putting me through the school of hard knocks, and every time he gives me a test, I fail it instead of passing it. So I guess he'll just have to keep doing it until I get over my stubborn hard-headedness and realize that I may not be able to do it. It may not be according to my nature. Amen. But it's what he expects. And if I'm going to live my life, if God's going to use my life to make as much of a difference in this world and for the cause of Christ that he would have me to, I'm going to have to submit myself first to God and then to others. You say, preacher, how do we do that? Through the grace of God. Amen. Did you know that meekness is an aspect that it's a fruit of the Spirit? You say, well, it just doesn't come natural to me. Well, it may not be a natural quality or a natural attribute of your flesh, but brother, if you're saved by God's amazing grace, the day that he saved you, he gave you a new nature. And one of the characteristics of the spiritual man, the new man that dwells within your heart and life, it's an attitude of meekness and humility. So somewhere down on the inside, it's there. It's just whether or not we're willing to let God help us. You say, oh, I need help. Well, the question is not whether you need help. The question is whether you want help. Amen. There's some things, well, I'll never get over this. Well, the question is, do you want to get over it? Amen. Listen, God's not going to force himself on us, but I'm just telling you tonight, friend, when it comes to those things that are hindering you and holding you back, and if God has revealed something to you in your life, especially according to the text that we're currently reading, we better ally ourselves with God. We better submit ourselves to him, and we better make sure that the attitude and the tendency of our lives are according to the words of Scripture. Amen. Well, I told you this wasn't going to be fun preaching tonight, but I believe it's what God would have for us. How many of you believe that God's grace is sufficient? Amen. In other words, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Anybody just say, preacher, I need more of a spirit of humility and meekness in my life than what I currently have. From the pulpit to the pew. Oh, it's going to get worse before it gets better this evening, church. Amen, but this is good medicine. This isn't Nick's medicine, this is Bible medicine. Amen, it'll help you if you'll just swallow the bitter pill. A motivation. If a man for conscience towards God. Amen. And this goes back to a statement that I make from time to time here at the church. You've heard it, heard me make it. But you know, we need to live our lives consciously aware of the fact that God's consciously aware of us. Amen. I think about the psalmist, Psalm 139, 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my faults afar off. Thou compasseth my paths and my lyings down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows. You know, we know how to put on a front in front of our fellow man, don't we? In other words, I can be standing here, not necessarily Dad, I'd be afraid to do this with Dad, but I mean sitting here saying, God bless you, brother. I love you so much, but in my mind, I wish you'd slip and break your neck. Hallelujah. Right? Sometimes what we how we really feel and what we think in our mind is different than the attitude that we portray publicly towards others. But you know, God knows what you really think about a person. God knows how you really feel towards that person that you want to buddy up with and pal around with, amen, until you get an opportunity to do them the way they did you and to treat them the way they treated you, amen. Brother, I'm just telling you, God knows whether or not our lives are resigned and conformed to the expectations of what the Bible says. Again, that doesn't make sense. This truth I'm trying to get across to us tonight, it doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable. It's illogical. It is totally contrary to the philosophy of this world. Amen. This world would tell us, "Do unto me as you do. I'll do unto you as you do unto me. I'll treat you right if you treat me wrong. But brother, you do me wrong. Hey, hallelujah! You throw a hand grenade towards me. I'm gonna drop an atom bomb on your sorry soul. Right?" Faith is believing that God will reward those who obey Him, even when obeying Him does not make sense. Right? Are we going to please God tonight? Well, there's an expectation, verse number 19. Endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Again, if a man for conscience towards God. Amen. Let me just say this. Let me ask you this. Do you respond more towards what man does to you or what God knows about you? Amen. And my reflexes and my reactions, do I respond more according to the way people treat me or what God knows about me? Oh, that's good, isn't it? Well, what does God expect? He expects us to endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Amen. To suffer wrongfully, that's an unfairness. That's an injustice. That's a mistreatment. Can I say to you this evening, and if there's one thing that God is trying to get across to us tonight from our text, it's this: God expects us to be willing to suffer for doing the right thing. It's getting quiet, ain't it? 1 Peter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Listen to what 1 Peter 4:19 says. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Do you know that it's according to the will of God for you to suffer? Now, you're not going to hear that down at Joel Osteen's church or Rick Warren, amen, Prosperity Gospel, the Deliverance Church down in Nashville. That's contrary to their philosophy. Amen. And in fact, the closer you live to God, if you're right with God, if you're in the center of His will, you'll never suffer. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There's a regulation, verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Now, you know what's according to the ideology of this world? And I want to remind you tonight that if our lives are going to make a difference, we're going to have to be different. The world's going to have to see a different attitude out of our lives than what they see out of the worldly crowd. Amen. Amen. We are a peculiar people. We've got to dare to be different. If we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to live lives that are different than average and normal and usual. And what is according to the philosophy of this world is for a person to be willing to suffer for doing wrong. Amen. Right? Isn't that the world standard? That those who do wrong should suffer for it? Amen. Isn't that what you expect? Again, if a man commits murder, amen, he's going to suffer. If a man robs another individual, if a person assaults, amen, they're going to suffer not for doing the right thing, but for doing the wrong thing. But you know what the problem about that is? God didn't get any glory out of it. God is not glorified out of those who suffer for doing the wrong thing. Amen. And by the way, if you don't do the wrong thing, you won't suffer for doing the wrong thing. See, I'm afraid that sometimes the sufferings we endure in life are brought upon ourselves. We're just reaping the consequences of our own actions. Amen. And listen, again, if you live long enough, especially if you serve the Lord, you're going to spend some time suffering for doing the right thing. So let's do the right thing. Amen. Let's not do the wrong thing, so that we bring unnecessary suffering in and upon ourselves. That's right. But God, you know, can I say this evening, church? The number one priority for your life, as far as the will of God, is that He might get glory. See, your life is not about you. My life does not revolve around myself. It revolves around God. I was not created for myself, but I was created for Him. Amen. And it's not about my comfortability. It's not about my convenience. It's not about, what I deserve. But brother, I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. You know, there's no reason for a Christian to have an attitude of entitlement. Because listen, I'm glad I'm not getting what I'm entitled to. If I got what I was entitled to, I'd be in hell. Men, suffering for doing wrong. That's the world's philosophy. But here's the exception. Here's what God expects out of us. Verse 20, but if when ye do well and suffer for it. Brother, that's abnormal. That's unusual. That's peculiar for a person to suffer for doing the right thing. But brother, that is the pattern of the Christian life. I mean, you can cut it, you can twist it, you can spin it any direction you want to. But biblically speaking, according to the model and the standard and the norm that is set for us, according to what the Bible says, amen, we should expect as God's people to suffer for doing right. Amen. In other words, we should expect to suffer for living for God. Can I tell you, the Bible's filled with people who suffer for doing the right thing? Did Paul not suffer for doing right? Was he not forsaken did not all men forsake him? All those who he had had an influence upon, those who had come to a saving knowledge of faith, when he stood before Nero, his life was in danger. He said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Yeah, but then he said, I pray that not that it be laid to their charge. Don't hold it against them. Just like Jesus, when he's on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what the... Could you do that? Would I be willing to do such a thing? Can I tell you somebody else that suffered for doing right? Joseph. Man, if there was anybody who maintained his character and his integrity, amen, who was treated unfairly, his family, amen, sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife, amen, accused him falsely. He was forgotten by those he helped, amen, but yet he maintained his integrity even though he did the right thing. And when it was all said and done, God blessed him. Joseph suffered for doing right. David, man, Saul had it out for David, and all David had done was be good to Saul. Daniel suffered for doing right, did he not? Amen. He prayed when the Lord, when the king told him not to, and he got thrown into the lion's den. Moses suffered for doing right. I mean, you'd think that his people would be kissing his feet for bringing them out of Egypt, but amen, they blamed him for every problem that they had. Amen. Abraham suffered. Look how good he treated Lot. Look what Lot did to him. I'm just saying, for those of us who say, man, I can't believe the way I was treated. I can't believe what's happened to me. Amen. The poor mouth, and because of how bad we got it, for there's a lot of people that had it a lot worse than we have. A lot of people treated worse than I've been treated. Amen. A toleration. If when you do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently. Amen. That phrase simply means to submit to suffering. It means to endure suffering. It means not to resist or try to avoid or get out of it, but to embrace it, to accept it, to submit to it, and to willfully take it even though you're not deserving of it. Kind of reminds me when I was growing up, Mama used to whoop the fart out of us. I mean, it was about every day when there's four kids, somebody is getting a spanking. Well, no, it was a whooping. And you know, most of us would just, amen, we'd take it. Man up, take it. But my sister, Holly, man, it's like chasing a chicken that got his head chopped off just to try to get a lick on her. Am I not telling the truth tonight, Mom and Dad? I mean, you didn't know you was aiming for her hind end, but who knows, you might just stripe her across the forehead. I mean, because she is just wiggling and trying her best to get out of it. I got one like that too, praise God. Amen. But just to take it. Amen. You know, Paul said that he had gotten to come to the place in his life. He said, I've learned that in whatsoever state that I am in, therewith to be content. And brother, when you examine Paul's life, that covers a lot of territory. In other words, he could be content in imprisonment. He could be content when being stoned. He could be content, amen, being forsaken, being abandoned. Amen. Why? Because for him, life wasn't about himself. It was about Jesus. You know, but he took it a step further. Not only was he content with it, but he actually rejoiced in it. But you know, it's possible, and brother, I ain't arrived. Maybe y'all have. But it's possible for you to get to the place to where you could literally rejoice in suffering. Count it an honor to suffer for Christ. Is that in the Bible? And that, once again, that does not fit into the prosperity gospel crowd, does it not? But I'm just telling you, I've got a long way to go when it comes to getting to a level of spiritual maturity in my life, getting to that place to where I could literally be just as content suffering as I could be prospering. Amen. In other words, I could be just as content having money as I could not having money. I could be just as content healthy or sick as I could be healthy. Huh? I could be just as content in a state of tragedy as I am in a state of triumph. Amen. That's right. Just to take it. Take it patiently. Amen. There's a satisfaction here, verse number 20. This is acceptable with God. Do you know, willful, submissive, and undeserved suffering is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Amen? Now again, this ain't shouted out preaching tonight, but I'm just telling you, it pleases, I'm just telling you the truth this evening. Is that all right? It pleases God for you to suffer wrongfully for Him. That pleases God. Can I tell you three ways it pleases God? First of all, it's an expression of faith. Amen? Because, brother, it takes a lot of faith to suffer. Amen. To willfully suffer for doing the right thing. You don't think it took some faith for Paul and Silas to praise the Lord at the midnight hour? Amen. You know what I'd have been doing? I told you, God, you should have let me go to Asia, not Macedonia. Huh? Right? See, willful suffering is an expression of faith. But listen, as much as anything, it reminds people of Jesus. And lastly, it glorifies God. God's going to get a whole lot more glory out of your life for allowing you to suffer for doing wrong than to bless you for doing right. Excuse me. To allow you to suffer for doing right than to be blessed for doing right. So what matters more to us? Our own welfare and personal well-being or His glory? Amen? Now there's an ordination. For even hereunto were ye called. And brother, we've got to come to this realization. And again, this perverted idea of what the Christian life is all about. You know, that it's all a bed of roses, and the closer we are to God, the less we'll suffer and the better that our lives physically and materially will be. But I'm telling you, Peter says here that we are called to suffer wrongfully. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Amen. We are appointed unto these afflictions. The Thessalonians were. And again, 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, if I suffer for doing wrong, that's not necessarily God's will. That's the repercussions and the consequences of my sin. But if I suffer for doing right, more than likely that's according to the will of God. So I just need to submit to it, amen, and to endure it, and to put up with it, to persevere, not to get out of my suffering, but to endure my suffering. Now there's a substitution, and here we go, verse 21, why? Because Christ also suffered for us. How many of you are thankful tonight? That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about, the fact that Jesus suffered for us. He was wounded, what? For our transgressions. But God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, how He laid down His life for us, so ought we also to lay down our lives for the brethren. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The greatest thing that should motivate you to be willing to suffer for Jesus is the fact that Jesus was willing to suffer for you. And the more you keep the reality of the cross, amen, in the center of your mind, and as long as you make sure that everything that you experience and you go through in life, amen, is that you accept it and embrace it and you perceive it according to the lens of Calvary, it'll help you to be willing to endure those things that are unpleasant. Amen. Demonstration, leaving us an example, verse 21. I think about the one who was just dying for those who were unjust. You know, the servant is no greater than the Lord. If Jesus was willing to suffer for us, is it not reasonable that we ought to be willing to suffer for Him? As well, an instruction that you should follow His steps. You know, Christ's life was a life of suffering. Once again, that it just perplexes me, and I just can't understand how in the world this name it, claim it crowd, you know, wants to promote this idea, amen, that the Christian life is all about the glitz and the glamour and the bliss. Is that what Christ's life was about? I think it was old Ray Stevens that wrote a comical song, "Would Jesus Wear a Rolex?" And I think the answer to that question is no. You know, we've got things mixed up in our day. Amen. It's all about popularity and power and prestige and personality and talent and ability. And amen. Hey, we need to get ourselves out of the limelight and remember Jesus is the only star of the show. It's not about me. It's about Him. Right? And again, he left an example for us to follow, and that is to live our lives according to the pattern that He set for us. Amen. Suffer for Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Do you know that's what the Christian life, it's a life of self-denial. Amen. Putting my wants and my desires and my dreams and my ambitions aside, for nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. Sanctification. Who did no sin? Listen tonight. Suffering does not give you an excuse to sin. Amen. Suffering for doing the right thing does not give you an excuse to lower the standard. Right? Well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm just going to live like everybody else. The devil ever tempted you to do to lower the standard because you didn't get out of your obedience what you thought you should? Right? Suffering does not give us an excuse to sin. If Christ could suffer and not sin by His grace and with His help, we should be able to do the same. Amen. Tranquilization. And boy, here's where we all need to hit the altar. Neither was guile found in his mouth, verse 22. Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Can I say this tonight? Jesus never verbally protested over his suffering. Jesus never bellyached over his suffering. Jesus never grumbled or complained over the injustice. Listen, was Christ treated unfairly? Was Christ treated unjustly? Did Jesus get what he deserved when he died on the cross? Amen. If anybody had a right to protest, if anybody had a reason, you know, Pilate even gave him an opportunity to defend himself, did he not? Jesus, I want to hear your side of the story. Jesus remained silent. You know what I want to do when somebody does me wrong? I want to protest. That's not fair. You ought not have done that. Call them out. Jesus didn't call his accusers out. He didn't protest his own suffering. There's a counteraction or a reaction. Verse number 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. How do we respond to unfair suffering? How do we react when things don't go the way we think they should go? And when we're not treated the way we think we should and we deserve to be treated? Jesus, even though he was reviled, he reviled. And do you not think that if Jesus wanted to expose that crowd, he could have? If Jesus didn't need a defense attorney. He's the best one it ever has been. He's already proven that. He's my intercessor. If he wanted to be his own lawyer, he could have. But yet, when he was reviled, when he suffered, he did not respond. Romans 12, verse number 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men if it be possible. And I'm thankful for that phrase. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Tolerating and submitting to wrongful suffering. Again, it is one of the greatest expressions or demonstrations of faith you could ever give. A commission, I'm almost through tonight. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. You know, we want to get even. But you know, a lot of times, and you've heard me say this before, that's one of the reasons we should not try to take revenge or retaliate against those of whom we perceive has done us wrong. Why? Because our judgment is imperfect. You know, our opinions on who's right and who's wrong is biased. Amen? I want to see the moat and the beam. Amen. I want to see the telephone pole in somebody else. I want to see a speck in somebody else's eye, but I want to ignore the telephone pole in my own eye. And that's why we listen, God is both the judge, the jury, and the executioner, not us. That's why we need to commit our judgment and our vengeance and our revenge under the hands of the Lord. And God knows that if somebody needs to be dealt with and taken care of, He'll do it in His time and according to His own way. Do you believe tonight God's able to vindicate your faith? Amen. Do you believe God is able and will eventually, whether it be in this life or in the life to come, reward you for doing the right thing? An affliction, who his own self bears sins in his own body on the tree. Amen. His own self bear our sins in his own body. He didn't have any help. Nobody stood with him when he did it. Amen. Jesus was abandoned by the very ones he was dying for. But yet he did it willfully and obediently. An occasion that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Did you know what wrongful suffering is? It's an opportunity for you to obey God and to please Christ. A redemption by whose stripes we're healed. Do you know that if God's able to forgive your sins and if He's able to redeem your iniquities, He's able to take care to right your injustices and those malpractices and those things that are done negatively towards you and when you're treated wrongfully, amen, don't take it into your own hands. Amen. Why? Because, amen, if God's able to save your soul, He's able to right any wrongs that may be done against you in your life. A predication, for you were as sheep going astray. And brother, that's all we are. We're just sheep. Amen. Don't have, you know, a sheep doesn't even have a means of self-defense. That's right. But a delegation. Instead, you know what? You know, it'd be a foolish thing for a sheep to try to lash out and to defend himself against a wolf or a bear or a lion, because a sheep doesn't even have the ability to defend himself. But you know the one in whom he's under the care and the protection of, which is the shepherd, a delegation, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Do you know that when you got saved, you relinquished your rights to God? Amen? You know, He's the creator, He's the potter, we're the clay. I don't have the right to protest. My life is in the hands of a loving God and a holy God. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. I have been bought with a price, and what happens in my life from the moment that I'm saved until the time God calls me home to glory, it's not my business, it's God's. So if the will of God for my life, y'all with me this evening as we close, and if the plan of God for Nick Bailey is for him to suffer wrongfully, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And who am I to protest? Who am I as the creature to reply against the Creator? Who am I to question? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed, why'd you make me this way? Why'd you let this happen to me? Huh? Right? See, we got to have a bright perspective of who God is and who we are. Brother, I know one thing. God knows what's best for your life. God knows what you need. Sometimes we think that what we need, the medicine that we need for our soul, is a blessing, but God knows that we need some suffering. Do you know that suffering is beneficial for your life? Suffering is beneficial for your spirituality. Amen. Amen. If the entirety of our lives, all God let us do was to prosper, amen, we would be self-sufficient. We would forget the fact that but it's through those times of suffering, amen. Did everything that happened to Job, was it fair? Was it just? Was it right? But did God not take care of his servant? And if God did that for Job, God will do that for you. Amen. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Whether it be in bounty, prosperity, or whether it be during times of wrongful suffering. Let's all stand tonight. Father in heaven, I've done my best to preach what I believe with all my heart that you have prepared for us this evening. Lord, nothing flashy or flamboyant about the message, but Lord, it's just good Bible food, fresh bread that'll feed our soul.